5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. All right, I'm super excited today. We got Sage Kimsey will be on here in just a few minutes, but first, let's get started on this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Monday happy hour. 60 degrees at Hollis. Hollis, you are the hot spot in Oklahoma right now. 55 at Cheyenne, 56 at Arnett, 52 at Beaver, and out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have 54 at Lipscomb, 55 at Miami, 57 at Wellington and Odell. Down across the Red River Bridge is 53 degrees. Well, on the show with me right now from Las Vegas, Nevada. First of all, I got to tell everybody how this come about. So everybody knows who the Cotton King is in Ouachita County, Mr. Jimmy Rhodes, Mr. Farm 101 himself. Anyway, he was headed out there. I said, hey, I'm going to get an update from you from the rodeo Monday, or do something better. Find me somebody cool to talk to on the show. Well, bam, guess what? I got Mr. Sage Kimsey on here. Welcome to the show, sir.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we were out at Cowboy Christmas, and he said, hey, folks back home would love to hear from you. Is there any way you can do that? And sure enough, we got a busy schedule out here, but, you know, sure enough, could make it work. So appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Sage, you're 7-time PRCA bull riding world champion. And you did pretty good on the PBR, and I didn't really know it. I mean, I know who you are. I know who your family is. And I had your sister on the show last year, but I didn't know that you were the first one in the PRCA to ever earn $1 million. How cool was that?
It was pretty cool, yeah. You know, becoming the youngest millionaire in pro rodeo history was dang sure pretty special. You know, it's not really something I ever set out to do. I just wanted to ride bulls and, you know, make a living out of it. But it's pretty cool for sure.
So does the family come out to Vegas and watch you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody's out here, mom, dad, wife, little boy. Everybody's out here for all 10 nights.
Well, speaking of your wife, you guys did an interview yesterday, and you can find it on Sage's Facebook page with Teton from up there in Idaho. And that was one of the coolest interviews that I've ever seen between a cowboy and his wife. And I can tell you, and I hope I'm not lying here, is you two, that the way you both acted on that show there, that's just true love right there.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're pretty fond of one another, that's for sure. She's special, man. So,
oh yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, you could tell by the way she looks at you that she just, you know, she Sage is her world. So that's pretty cool. That was a great interview, because one of the questions that she asked you is on that interview, what brought all this up was, you know, there's only one other person, bull rider ever, to win 8 professional world championships in the PRCA, and that's Donnie Gay, and you're one away from tying him. How awesome is that going to be if you do that this year?
It'd be pretty great. You know, I've battled some injuries this year, so I'm a little bit behind the 8 ball, but, you know, there's still a lot of money to win out here the next 7 days, so anything's possible.
Well, and I wish you luck in doing that. That'd be pretty good, because Donnie Gay was one of the bull riders I followed when I was growing up, and he was a great one, and you're a great one. So it'd be pretty cool for you to time up and not have to worry about that no more, huh? And the way you sounded yesterday, you probably ain't worried about it too much anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those things. You know, I went through a full shoulder reconstruction, for those who don't know, last year, and it was the first time I kind of got to press pause on the whole rodeo thing ever since I was about 16 years old, and, you know, got to spend some time at home, and we welcomed our son into the world about 2 years ago. So being able to be a be there for his whole first year of life was just special, and it kind of just gave me time to sit back and kind of reevaluate life and think about what I wanted out of life. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just wanted to be home with him more and home with my wife and be there for my family. So, you know, that's going to be the future moving forward.
Well, you're the one in the family that moved out of Roger Mills County, and you're living down there in Texas. What do you got going on down there in Texas besides being a professional rodeo man?
That's pretty much it, honestly. It kind of consumes you, especially if you're doing it at a high level. So, yeah, my wife's from down there in Central Texas, so I moved down there probably seven years ago or so. And it's a great spot to rodeo out of. I mean, shoot, everything in the winter's 3 hours from the house. So, you know, we've really enjoyed living down there in Central Texas. But Western Oklahoma is definitely, you know, it's a great place to be from. And, you know, I love all the people. That's what me and her talk quite a bit about it. And she's like, you know, what do you miss? And I said, honestly, the people of Western Oklahoma, you don't find any better people than what's in Roger Mills County and in Western Oklahoma in general.
Yes, sir. And well, they you grew up in Strong City, and I followed your dad when he was doing the barrels for bull riding when I was growing up. And I think your dad and I are about the same age, but anyway, he was on the rodeo doing that, and he was an awesome barrel man. But there's a lot of people out there that don't know your whole family is into it, even your mom. Your sister might be a pharmacist, but she's one heck of a trick rider. And then your little brother Trey, now that's a whole different ball game. Is he right on your tail, or is he above you right now in the standings?
He's above me right now, but yeah, it's definitely a family affair. I mean, I grew up, that was all we did. I mean, we were either out at the barn riding horses or at a rodeo. So yeah, it's definitely a family affair.
Well, and that's awesome. So is there any time when you're at a rodeo and your brother's there, is there sometimes you hope he lets go of that rope so you can get into a little more money?
Oh, shoot, no, I'm always pulling for him to do good.
I figured you were.
It is pretty special, though, getting to have him out there on the road with me, because we're, and I've said it in a bunch of interviews, but we're just far enough apart in age that, you know, by the time he was kind of becoming a young man and paving his own road, I was already off rodeoing. So for us to kind of have the same career choice and get to be around each other a lot more than what we would if we weren't in the same career, it's been pretty cool just, you know, getting to know him as he, you know, turns into the young man that he's become. And it's pretty special having him out there on the road with me.
Right. So do you come back to Cheyenne or Strong City any at all?
We try to for holidays and stuff like that, but not a whole lot. The schedule stays so booked up that it's pretty rare when we get up there, but when we do, we always enjoy our time.
Well, we got some – Western Oklahoma is well known for its cowboys, especially the bull riding. You know, we got a really famous one there from Sayre, Oklahoma. And, you know, your dad worked the barrels, and then we had Custer, you know, one of the Custers here was pretty good at bull riding. So it must be in the water out here.
It must be, yeah. That red dirt's got something in it.
Yeah, because
pretty good for cowboys.
Because when I was living in Kansas City, I went up to one of the PBR deals there. Where was it at? It was at the Royal, and went down there and got to meet up with Justin McBride. And, man, he just... he's just a wiry guy, you know that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I became pretty good friends with Justin, and you know, he lived at Elk City for probably 6 or 7 years there for a while whenever he was right in the heart of his bull riding career. And like you said, must be something in the water.
Yeah, it must be. So what's it looking like so far? How's things been going so far?
It's a little bit of a slow start for me. I got one covered in round one, and then came down early in rounds two and three. But like I said, we still got 7 more days of it, so it can only go up from here.
Right. And so, yeah, you got quite a bit. And then you also ride in the PBR. And what do you like? What's the difference? Do you like one or the other better? They're both the same. As long as you're riding a bull, you don't care.
the biggest difference for me at this point in my life, having the young family that I do, is the scheduling. You know, rodeoing will be gone for months out of the year at a time, and having the little one at home, that's just not real feasible for me anymore. So the biggest thing for me is the scheduling difference. The PBR, we fly out on, most events are either Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, so we'll fly out on the weekend to a major market, big city, and fly right back home. So I'm only gone from the family 2-3 days.
But the rodeo on the PRCA, you're trying to find you a rodeo every night, I guess.
And that's especially in the summer. Years past, I'd leave out for Reno the middle of June and wouldn't be back home until the middle of September after Pendleton. So it's a little bit different schedule for sure.
Right. And guys, so what's your plans with your boy? What you gonna do? Are you gonna show him the rope?
Hey, well, to be honest, I really hope he doesn't want to be a bull rider. I feel like there's a lot easier ways to make a living for sure, but it's one of those things, whatever he wants to do, I'm going to support him wholeheartedly. My wife and I, Alexis, have joked quite a bit that we feel like we'd be really good golf parents. If he wanted to pick up a golf club and play golf, that'd be all right by us.
Well, you know what? That's not a bad thought, because your injuries are going to be a whole lot less with golf.
And the occupational hazards aren't near as bad, that's
no,
for sure.
No, not at all. And and that's what I tried to tell my grandson. I said, man, get out of that football and stuff and get into golf. And you know what? He did. And then he joined the Marines. So I don't know where I went wrong, which is fine. I'm glad he joined the Marines. But anyway, he did pretty good. He's a good golfer. But I don't know. It's, you want your kids to grow up and do what they want. You don't want anybody to force anything on them. Hey, we live out here at the ranch. You're going to be a cowboy whether you want one or want to be one or not. But man, when you graduate from high school, just what you gonna do? That's your choice. So that's a good thing. But speaking of high school, do you remember when you won the state championship at Cheyenne?
Oh yeah, that was probably one of my fondest memories growing up. We had a great basketball team, and made memories with those guys that they'll last a lifetime and be something that sticks with me for forever. And it's pretty funny now, especially with the PBR's new team series. Most Cowboys have absolutely no experience with team sports whatsoever. And it's been really fun, kind of leaning back on everything that I learned from all of my teammates and our great coach, Brad Thrash, at our time at Cheyenne, trying to help keep the team together and build a culture on the team has been really fun.
And you remember who your teammates was on the team back there in high school?
Oh yeah, Austin Thrash, Ethan Smith, which me and Ethan are still really good friends to this day. He was the groomsman at my wedding, and we stay in touch all the time. So there was a bunch of great teammates that, like I said, I'll never forget.
Well, somebody sent us a message on the text line here, and they must know you. Because here's what they said. Sage was too young to rent a car when he was starting out, but could rent a U-Haul to get to an event. I probably don't want to hear this story, do I?
Oh, no, it's a pretty good one. It's clean, too. So
let's hear about it.
Yeah, we were down at Houston one year, and I had I was probably, I don't know, probably 19 or so, and had a buddy coming to get me. Well, I don't know if there's a wreck or what. Traffic was bad anyway. He wasn't going to be able to get down to come get me. And I remember hearing, the old rodeo stories. They said you can rent a U-Haul at 18, but you can't rent a car until you're 21. And so anyway, we were kind of trying to scramble around, figure out a plan. Me and one of my buddies was down there. He's a young guy, too. And anyway, long story short, we did. We had to come up with plan B and went to the closest U-Haul rental deal and signed the paperwork and got there about the time the bull riding started, so ended up making it.
That's good. I bet there's a lot of that went on with not just you, but a bunch of cowboys in the rodeo circuit. There's no telling how they got to some of those rodeos.
So the travel's the hardest part of it. That's what I tell everybody. Everybody thinks that bull riding is this this real tough, dangerous thing, but the travel and the miles that we put in every year is the real tough part of it.
Yep. Well, Sage, I want to wish you the best of luck in the rest of the rounds, and thank you for taking time out in your busy schedule to come on the show today. And I think it's great because you got a bunch of followers out here in Western Oklahoma that love you and love your family, and they probably glad to hear from you and wish you the luck too the rest of this week.
You bet. I think sure appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Sage. You have a great one.
You too.
Bye. All right, awesome. Great guy, awesome guy. No kidding, you guys get on Facebook, on his page, Facebook page, if you want to watch that interview with Teton yesterday from Idaho. And it was just an awesome interview. He just as true as they come to being a husband, a good husband and a good bull rider, and he's just a great guy. So anyway, well, let's take it Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, I'll have a little more on them and an update on some weather out in Texas. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Nightlatch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Nightlatch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center, we have 56.8 degrees, humidity's at 23%. Dozer, Texas, humidity is 22%. Dew point's 20. Your temperature's 59. Winds right now are out of the northeast at 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 15. Peak wind gusts so far today, 18 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, zero. Red flag minutes today, zero. Sub-freezing minutes today, 109 minutes you have. 1 hour and, what is that, 49 minutes there. And 8-inch soil temperature, 48 degrees. Oh, there you have it. Anyway, went to the doctor this morning. My blood pressure was like 120 over 80. It was perfect. The doctor was impressed. I told him I went quail hunting yesterday, so that got me calm for today. How about that? That's what it did. Anyway, took my baby out, Beth. She's 8 months old. She did pretty good. She was ready to come home after a full day of hunting. She wasn't used to that, so we got that going on. Well, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, actually next month, they're asking you to join them for the OCA Policy Development Meeting, which will be January 18th at the Hilton Garden in Edmond in Oklahoma City North, and that's on 2833 Conference Road in Edmond. Share your thoughts, exercise your membership voting power, and help chart the course for a successful Oklahoma beef industry. OCA membership is required to attend. Registration begins at 8:30. Program begins at 9:30. Lunch will be served at 12. There'll be two keynote speakers, Attorney General Drummond and Executive Director of the Oklahoma Broadband Office, Michael Sanders. Rooms must be booked by December 16th, so you got about 5 days to go. If you're a member, I'm sure, if unless you missed it, you got this email on the OCA Policy Development Meeting. And you know what? It's not that hard to join the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. It's a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislation representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members that are marketing beef, monthly issue of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. It's $100 a year. You can experience all these member benefits and so much more just for $100. That's less than $2 a week or $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. Here you go. Easy to join. www.okcattlemen.org or call Miss Lori Campbell at 580-273-5137. There you have it. All right, let's check out what's happened overnight and even over the weekend in our ag world. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading as rain is expected in parts of the U.S. southern plains where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing. Multiple days of shower expected starting Wednesday, and they are. I seen where Lacey Swope posted that western Oklahoma going to be a slow rain. Some areas. Notice I said S-O-M-E. Some areas are can receive to up to an inch of rain, with some very spotted areas, maybe 2 inches. All this is maybe. I don't care how much rain we get. If it's a half inch, a quarter, just as long as we get some rain, we'll be fine. While there's a good chance that all areas will see rain to start, there's an increase in potential for changeover to snow Thursday evening and overnight Friday. According to the National Weather Service in a report this morning, potential for winter impacts due to accumulating snow look to be most favored in western and central Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, out in the panhandles, not so much out here. The precipitation will be welcome in the southern plains where little or no rainfall has fallen in the past week, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Still, southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma panhandle are only abnormally dry, and some moderate to severe drought is hitting the Texas panhandle, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Half of the winter wheat crop is in good or excellent condition as of November
26, the last time this year's ratings were measured by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's up from 34% that earned top ratings this time last year. We all remember what was last year. Wheat futures for March delivery in Chicago fell 8¾ cents to $6.23 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 9¼ cents to $6.51¾ a bushel. Corn futures fell 1½ cents to $4.84 a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery rose 4½ cents to $13.08½ a bushel. Soybean meal added $1.30 to $4.06 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.2 cents to 50.4 cents a pound. Investors reduced their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn last week, while also curbing their bullish bets on beans, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Speculators held a net short 158,828 futures contracts in corn in the 7 days it ended on December 5th. That's down from 212,000 contracts a week earlier and the smallest bearish position since October 31st. Money managers curbed their net long positions or bets on higher prices in soybeans to 37,732 future contracts, the agency said. That's down from 71,000 a week earlier. In wheat, investors held a net 38,379 futures contracts in hard red winter wheat futures last week, and that's down from 49,000 contracts a week earlier. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short position in soft red winter wheat futures at 100,532 as of December 5th, so that's down from 124,000 the previous week. There you have it. All right, let's see what kind of weather we got going on here. Extremely dense fog is forming in parts of the eastern half of North Dakota this morning, reducing visibility to less than a quarter of a mile. Strong winds this afternoon may lead to blowing snow in some areas in North Dakota and South Dakota. Areas of dense fog will continue through the morning, especially along the Red River Valley. In southeastern Oklahoma and northwestern Arkansas, meanwhile, dry weather will lead to tinderbox-like conditions today. Near to above normal temperatures, low humidity, and dry grasses will lead to increased fire weather concerns this afternoon in that part of the state. Usually it's this part of the state, but I guess not. Okay, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll talk about actual numbers happening right now on the market, see what's happening with the cattle, and go over a few more things. We got plenty to do. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. 92. They come to you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City,
We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma, big city of Alpha. Currently it's 56 degrees. Dew point's 23, humidity's 28, the winds are out of the northwest at 3 miles an hour, 24-hour rainfall, 0, 10-day rainfall, 0.02, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 43 degrees, 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0, really good shape there. Sunset, 5:19 today, sunny, 58 degrees, tonight, mostly clear, 29 degrees, tomorrow, not too bad, but mostly cloudy and 52 degrees. And I think today is probably going to be one of the days, last days, we're going to see full sunshine. We got that weather moving in tomorrow evening. It's supposed to be raining here right after midnight tomorrow night in far western Oklahoma. So we'll see. Bring it on. We want it. We'll take any moisture. It's about time El Nino woke up and kicked in out here in the panhandle into western Oklahoma. All right, let's see what the markets are doing right now. December corn, 461, down almost 5 cents. March is down 5 cents at 480. Soybeans for January, 1332, up 28. March is 1349, up 26. Soybean meal, December, 429.60, up $5.40. January soybean meal, $413 a short ton, up $8.30, and March is 404, up 820. Soybean oil looks like it's up about a half a penny for December at 5071. January's 5092, up 0.72. March is 5088, up 0.71. Hard red winter wheat, December 655, down a little over six. March, yeah, I guess that's correct. Yeah, March 632 down 28. May is 638 down 28. And July is down 27 at 642. Cotton, let's see what it's doing. Man, cotton's doing a lot better now that the cotton king's out there in Las Vegas. March 82.14 up 7/10 of a penny. May is 82.67 up 0.63. July is 82.96 up 0.51. Sugar not doing so bueno. I don't know what sugar daddy's doing over there at Delhi, but March is 22.47 down 0.89. it's lost almost 6 cents in the last 2 weeks. May is 21.65. West Texas intermediate crude oil, January 71.45 up 22 cents. February 71.69 up a quarter. Natural gas. Let's go down there and see what the gas is doing. Not so good. January 238, down 0.201 today. February's 230 up or down. Same thing, about 0.2. It looks like the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ are doing really well today. Not too bad. They're doing good. Let's see what live cattle are doing. December 166.15, up 70 cents. February 166.82, up $1.10. April $1.70.40, up $1.10. June 167.20, up 87. Feeder cattle for January 215.65, up 35 cents. March is 216.62, up 55 cents. April's 219.97, up 77 cents. And May is 233.40, up three-quarters of a dollar at 0.72. How about that? Lean hogs down today. December 68.12, down 30 cents. February 67, even, down $1.97. April is 75.05, down $1.10. May is 82.50, down 80. And June is 90.95, down 47. Well, there you got it going on. All right. This is not such a great story. It's a bad story, but it's interesting what was going on. Rock Rapids, Iowa man has pleaded guilty in federal court to manipulating weights of hogs in order to defraud pork producers. According to the Sioux City Journal, Robert Bickerstaff, 52, entered his plea on December 1st in the U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids to one count of wire fraud. He could face up to 20 years in prison, a maximum fine of $250,000, and 3 years of supervised release following any imprisonment. A sentencing date is yet to be set. During the plea hearing, the U.S. Attorney's Office said Bickerstaff admitted he had worked as a regional manager for Iowa livestock dealer between 2018 and 21. As a regional manager, he oversaw livestock buying stations in Iowa, Minnesota, and South Dakota. He also personally counted, classified, and weighed swine at these stations. Bickerstaff personally lowered the weights, numbers, and classification of hogs and producers delivered to the dealers' buying stations or directed others to fraudulently do it, said the U.S. Attorney's Office. He also manipulated hog weights manually or by using a crowbar, paddle, or another object to defeat electronic scales on which the hog was weighed and created fraudulent sort sheets and scale tickets for producers' hogs for transmission to the dealer's headquarters, according to the Sioux City Journal. Sentencing before U.S. District Court Judge C.J. Williams will be set after a pre-sentence report is prepared, said the article. Bickerstaff remains free on bond, previously set in pending sentencing. In 2022, Bickerstaff was recognized for going above and beyond expectations of a volunteer in his effort to promote pork at grilling events. As a former restaurant owner, the Lyon County pork producers say he demonstrated how important communicating advertising and hard work at every level of the farm to fork supply chain. Well, he might have did a good job promoting it, but he did a good job taking some money away from some hog producers. Well, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When we come back, we'll have a Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for some town in southwestern Oklahoma. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think.
Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Grandpa always worked with his hands. J.R. Willis, he always wanted to create new things. And so he actually built a new polishing mill that was automatic so that you could polish the granite slabs once they were sawn. He came up with lathes to turn vases and things like that. We are on the fifth generation, and I think we all have a heart for what we do. We're proud of what our grandfather and father did all this time, and Mom, don't forget Mom. Well, it's our heritage, I guess. We literally grew up across the street from the plant, so, you know, it was kind of ingrained in us how important it was to work with families and create things for them that to remember. Willis Granite Products, our website is willisgranite.com. That's what we're still doing, is working with families to help them remember.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different sized dumpsters. There's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 1st. 1,238 head were sold. Four head of steers at 461 brought 305. Eight at 477 brought 304. 5-9 brought 250. Six at 582 brought 255. Six at 618 brought 259. Three at 660 brought 241. Four at 756 brought 216. Four head of heifers at 439 brought 242. Nine at 567 brought 220. 11 at 588 brought 213. 13 at 627 brought 214. Seven at 655 brought 185. Butcher cows were 28 to 113. Butcher bulls brought 43 to 121. Bred cows were 400 to 2300. Pairs brought 400 to 1800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden agriculture weather update. I picked Mangum, Oklahoma. 60 degrees there right now. Dew point's 21. Humidity's 23. The winds are out of the east northeast at 12 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall and 10-day rainfall zero. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 49 degrees, and the fractional water deals down on me. Some sunset at 5:27. Today, mostly sunny, 60 degrees, you're there. Northeast winds to east winds, 8 to 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, 31 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 57 degrees, with the wind switching from the northeast to be coming out of the southeast. How about that? Mondays, let's go with cotton. I don't know why I thought about cotton. Let's see what all we got going on from the National Cotton Council. Here they go. I read the December crop report, but let's go with the mill report. In December report, the USDA lowered the 23-24 U.S. mill use by 150,000 bales from November to 1.9 million bales. Exports were unchanged for the previous month at 12.20 million bales. This generates a total of the 23-24 offtake at 14.10 million bales. Ending stock for the 23-24 year are projected at 3.10 million bales for an ending stock to use ratio of 22%. For the 22-23 crop year, the USDA gauged U.S. cotton production at 14.47 million bales. Estimated mill use and exports were unchanged from the November report at 2.05 million bales and 12.77 million bales, respectively. Total offtake for the 22-23 year crop year is estimated at 14.82 million bales, and in stocks were estimated at 4.25 million bales. Estimated stocks to use ratio for the 22-23 marketing year, 28.7%. There you go. Let's see what else we got here. There was something else in here that caught my attention. EPA. Dues. All right, here we go. Sales shipments stay steady. Next, export sales for 1,200 bales. This brings total 23-24 sales to about 8.3 million. Total sales at the same point in the 22-23 market year was 9.1. Oh, not quite a million bales down from the 22-23, but close. Total new crop for the 24-25 sales now are at 646,400 bales. Shipments for the week were 147,500, bringing total exports to date to 2.6 million bales compared with 3.5 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 year. There was something else in here that caught my attention. Where'd it go? Trust protocol, nominees, insurance. Here we go. The Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office, the GAO, is recommending cost-saving changes to the federal crop insurance program. The GOA report, which was completed at the request of Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from New Jersey, and Kristen Gillibrand, from a Democrat from New York, found a 15% reduction in the premium subsidy rate in 2020 could have saved the federal government about $15 million. It also claims that further savings could be found in the future by tying reimbursements to insurance companies more closely to the market rate of return. House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, Republican out of Pennsylvania, strongly criticized the GAO report, stating that it relies on inconsistent performing metrics and discounts the benefits of federal crop insurance, which is one of the most successful examples of public-private partnership in existence. Well, there you go. Always somebody trying to stir the pot when things were quiet on the home front and actually working. All right, out of Mexico. Presidential election in Mexico could change corn policy. You guys heard me talk about this a couple times, that the president, the one that's president right now, his wife was wanting to ban GMO corn from the United States. Anyway, so the United States in return has accused Mexico of violating the North American trade rules with its ban on GM corn used in making tortillas and other foods. Mexico might review and potentially remove its ban on imports of genetically modified white corn following its presidential election on June 2nd, said Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on Sunday. That would be my hope. The new president likely will be a woman for the first time and would take office next October 1st. The United States has accused Mexico of violating the North American trade rules with its ban on GM corn used in making tortillas and other foods. Mexico, the birthplace of corn and the number two customer for U.S. food and ag exports, says it's defending its heritage in hundreds of corn varieties. A USMCA dispute panel is examining the U.S. challenge of the ban. A decision that is not expected for a few months. Claudia Sheinbaum, a former Mexico City mayor, is the leader in the public opinions poll and a member of a coalition, is also a member of the present coalition, the President Lopez's party, according to the Americans Society and Council of the Americans. By law, Lopez cannot seek re-election to a second term. Shimbob has a 2-1 lead over Galvez. Opposition Alliance, a third party, the Citizens Movement was expected to name a candidate next month. Anyway, so during a teleconference, Balsack said he met his Mexican counterpart on the sidelines of the UN Climate Summit to urge Mexico to follow the science on genetic engineering of corn. The United States was a pioneer in genetic engineering and its fierce defender of the safety to GE crops. Balsack pointed to the upcoming Mexican election when asked the state of play on the trade dispute. He also said he met that agriculture members of Canada, Mexico, and the United States might be having a meeting next month. So hopefully in the next few weeks, I'm going to get one of the a very well-known GMO expert to come on the show to clarify some stuff, because so many people misunderstood genetically modified. It's complicated, but it's not that complicated. A lot of people mix up the Roundup Ready alfalfa and stuff like that as it's bad for you and all this other good stuff. But what I've been studying this thing for a couple years now, and it's hard to get somebody to come on to talk about it because you want to be sure you have the right person talking about it so it's not misunderstood. But what people that are against genetically modified crops like corn and soybeans and stuff like that, what they don't realize from what all I've studied, and I'm not an expert on this for no matter what, is, you know, the stuff, the pesticides and the herbicides that have to be sprayed that are harming our bugs and all this other good stuff, the good bugs and stuff, is put in the plants so these farmers don't have to go out there and do all this spraying and stuff. So it's actually helping a lot. And so anyway, that's one of the things I found out, that it's really helping with the application of herbicides and pesticides, which is a good thing as far as in my book. And you just got to remember, even as a human, you're genetically modified. As one guy told me in a way that I pretty much understood, he said, you know, your great-grandpa, he married your great-grandma from another family. And then your grandma married your grandpa, both from two different families. Then they had a kid called your dad and mom, and they married people from two different families. And then here you are. You're genetically modified. It's pretty simple. Everybody's genetically modified, but man, I know some people that ain't going to see it that way. So anyway, all right, coming out of the beef email this morning, U.S. pork exports posted another strong performance in October, led by record large shipments to Mexico and broad-based growth elsewhere, according to data released by the USDA on Friday and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. October beef exports remain well below last year's large totals, but improved from September, led by a stronger demand in Mexico and Taiwan. The USMEF said that a monster year continues for pork to Mexico, contributing to another strong performance in October. I wonder if they checked to see if them hogs were fed with genetically modified white corn. I don't know. We'll see. During the month, pork exports totaled 245,345 metric tons. That's up 3%. It's a bunch. Shipments to leading market Mexico reached new highs, both volume and value, while exports to Colombia were the largest since mid-2022 and achieved the highest value in nearly 2 years. October exports to Central America were amongst the largest on record and included record large shipments to Guatemala. Exports also increased year over year to the Dominican Republic. For the first 10 months of the 23, pork exports increased 9% from a year ago to 2.38 million metric tons of pork. That's a lot of pigs. At a time when the U.S. pork industry needs to maximize revenue, they run out of superlatives. We're talking about the remarkable demand we are seeing in Mexico, according to the USMEF president and CEO Dan Hallstrom. pork exports, also achieving excellent growth across the Western Hemisphere and retaking market share in Asia and the Pacific. There you go. So looking good for the pork. We'll probably be talking about beef tomorrow. Anyway, looking forward to a great week this week. Coming up Friday, just so you have this on your agenda, I'm going to have the Texas Peanut Council on the show with me talking about how peanuts and stuff did in Texas this year. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless. Brought to you by First National Bank of Trust of Sarah and Elk City. Be right back.
A good mix of music.
Really good music.
Let's go.
Let's go!
This is KEC.